Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Still watching coverage of Hurricane Ian, and man, Jacksonville is getting inundated by the rain and the wind now. So a good portion of the state of Florida is out from underneath the hurricane, but still, of course, the winds on the backside. I have friends in Orlando who had just texted me a little while ago to say that it's raining still, so much rain, though they do have sandbags around their house. And right now, the sandbags are holding and doing their job, and they've got a flooded yard and the streets are flooded, but their home has remained dry. So really relieved to hear that. And even as I watch the coverage and like many of you think about friends and family who are in the state of Florida, this storm is not done. It's moving so slowly that even those places that have come out from underneath the storm are still waiting on storm surge. So as the tide is high and gets high and goes in early this morning, that storm surge, I heard predictions of up to 18 feet. And it is still a Category 1 storm, which means there are still so many wind gusts that are over 75 miles per hour. So the rain alone in, say, Daytona Beach, talking about up to 2 feet of rain because of how slowly the storm is moving. Orlando, nearly a foot of rain. I've seen some of the rain totals from the Gulf Coast that are approaching 16 and 17 inches, which is unbelievable. And it's hard to know. It's dark there now, so it's hard to know what kind of damage has been left in its wake. But the storm is still massive. And now, as I say, it's getting past Orlando, where there's a ton of rain, but pounding Jacksonville with the rain and the winds, and will be out over the Atlantic, where they expect it to pick up some steam and some fuel. It's impacting Charleston right now as well. Savannah is also getting hit by parts of this storm, and it's just so big, and it just continues to move so slowly. So thinking of all of you who are in the path, the last number I saw was 2.3 million Florida residents without power. So there are flash flood warnings. There are still hurricane warnings, as well as tornado watches, too, for a good portion of that whole central Florida area. That's not yet done, though. Thankfully, a lot of it has moved past that Gulf Coast, where they'll be left to clean up and dry out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. I've heard from many of you about the storm and the storm coverage, and I know it's something that brings us all together. I'm pretty sure most Americans have ties to Florida in some way, whether it be family, whether it be friends. It's one of those states where people move to when they retire or when they're looking for a fresh start. Florida, Texas, Nashville right now, these are some of the top destinations for Americans who are on the move. So yeah, we many of us have ties to Florida, whether it be people we know or we lived there before. My grandparents actually had it was a winter home, a home that we spent time over the holidays many years in the Clearwater, Florida area. My brother was actually born in Tampa. So because my mom was there with my grandparents, her parents, at the time he was born, actually he was born in St. Pete, but Tampa, St. Pete area. And so we lived in Florida for a short time. My grandparents had a place there on the Gulf Coast for years. And my brother has vacationed there a bunch over the course of his life because he loves that area too. And then you think about the impacts for events, the number of flights have been canceled, the number of, we're just talking about sports here, but sporting events that have been moved or postponed, and still not knowing about the devastation in its wake, how quickly the power will come back on or how quickly life gets back to familiar rhythms. I don't want to say normal, because what's normal in the wake of a storm like this? An historic storm, one that the Tampa area hasn't seen in more than 100 years. Gosh, it's a lot, right? It makes sports feel so insignificant. Though, as I was saying last hour, if the Buccaneers can play, who knows if fans will want to show up or if it's even going to be possible for them to host a game coming up on Sunday. But we know that sports have the power to heal. They tend to bring us together like nothing else can. Specifically, football tends to bring us together like nothing else can. And over the past week, I've really felt the emotional ties to sports. And this even goes back to Aaron Judge hitting number 60, which would have been Tuesday of last week. And then being invested in every single at bat if you're a baseball fan. It has nothing to do with being a Yankees fan. It just has to do with appreciating history. And baseball is so tied and so cognizant of its history. And much of its history is marked in numbers. And so going back to that last Tuesday, with every at bat of Aaron Judge and a lot of them being broadcast on national TV, every single time Michael Kay, who is the Yankees TV play-by-play announcer on the YES Network, every single time he would call or get prepared to call an Aaron Judge at bat for the last 7 days, he would have to welcome in a national audience who would be taking the network coverage live because people around the country wanted to see it too. So if you're wondering, 34 plate appearances between home runs number 60 and 61. So going back to Tuesday, Wednesday, knowing it could happen, Thursday, potentially waiting for it to happen, all the way through the weekend, that was the series at Yankee Stadium. But it wasn't just that. It wasn't just Aaron Judge watch. At the same time, we were also on Albert Pujols watch. And knowing that he and the Cardinals were landing in Los Angeles on Friday, of course, there was an added element to it because Albert has credited the Dodgers and the Dodgers organization and the Dodgers fans for reigniting his joy over playing baseball again and almost convincing him to not be done, but to do one more year with the Cardinals.
Pujols with the widespread stance, arms out over the plate. Bickford from the stretch. The 1-1 pitch. A swing, and there it goes! Left field, way back! That's home run number 700! Pujols hits a three-run homer, and he hit 699 and 700 at Dodger Stadium on September 23rd, 2022.
Walking through this journey, through the ups and downs, and through the cries, and through the hurt, to the injuries, and, you know, knowing that they have my back, and having them, you know, understand in this game like this, being part of this history means a lot to me, everything pretty much. You know, don't get me wrong, I know where my places stand in this game, but I think since day one when I made my debut, it was never about numbers. It was never about chasing numbers or anything. It was always about winning championship and try to get better in this game.
I so appreciate not only that he is aware of his place in the game, but that it wasn't his goal. That wasn't his end game. His end game was always baseball, teammates, passing on his wisdom and experience, a legacy that's built on encouraging younger Hispanic players. Just I'll name one. Manny Machado adores Albert Pujols. Other young Hispanic players who've come up over the last 20 years, he's an icon to them. And the fact that he has chosen to be a mentor to so many young players means that his reach goes far beyond 700 home runs, however many hits and RBI he ends up with. The World Series, 3 appearances, 2 rings. He loves the Cardinals, his teammates, the organization, the Dodgers, the fans. His family was there with him at that press conference in Los Angeles on Friday when he hit not just 699, but 700, as you hear with John Rooney on Cardinals radio. So that happened Friday, still on Aaron Judge watch over the course of the next few days. But I was thinking about my reaction to what we've seen in the last week in sports. First, in baseball, we've seen these super fun celebrations in clubhouses after teams have clinched their division titles. We've seen these individual moments. That team aspect actually part of Roger Federer's last match. And that was also my Friday. I got to tell you, normally I do not watch sports on Friday. I'll check in on them, but I don't spend the same number of hours watching sports on Friday because I need to have at least one night of my week that is not completely consumed by what's happening in sports. Now, once we get into October, all bets are off. But I actually wanted to watch sports on Friday. Let me just tell you, that's rare. I wanted to see Albert Pujols at the plate in Los Angeles. I wanted to watch all of the Aaron Judge at bats because the buzz and the electricity at Yankee Stadium last weekend were palpable. And I wanted to see every last point, every last smile, every last exchange, every last rally, and every last word of Roger Federer's legendary Hall of Fame career. I had other plans for Friday. And then I realized that the match, because of the time change, the Laver Cup was going on in London. I realized that the match was dinner time at my house. So I skipped my exercise. I skipped some of the other things that I had planned. And I plopped down in my chair, very comfy chair, perfect for a Friday, and watched Roger Federer's last match in its entirety. It was being carried on a regional network in New York. And so I actually had originally signed up for this streaming service just because I wanted to watch it that badly, but I found it on TV instead. And I was mesmerized. Not only were he and Rafael Nadal playing only their second doubles match of their entire careers, but there was so much emotion. They laughed, they smiled, they had fun. I mean, they're two of the greatest players of all time, but don't play a lot of doubles for obvious reasons. And they were playing against two Americans in Jack Sock and Francis Tiafoe. Sock himself has been a world number one in doubles. So you're talking about a real good doubles player. The match was really competitive, and it went to a tiebreak, not only in the second set, but also the championship tiebreak, or the match tiebreak, I should say. And the crowd in London was full of tennis dignitaries. Rod Laver himself was there. John McEnroe, the coach of Team World. Bjorn Borg, the coach of Team Europe. Novak was a cheerleader. I mean, it was an amazing atmosphere. Martina Navratilova was doing the commentary on TV, for heaven's sakes. There were so many Hall of Famers there. And as someone who's always loved tennis and worked for the Tennis Hall of Fame for over a decade, it's in Newport, Rhode Island, and who's a huge Roger Federer fan, I just was able to soak it in. But I'll tell you, just like the Albert Pujols home runs, specifically 700, and seeing not only his joy at rounding the bases, but his reunion with teammates outside the dugout, the fan reaction, the Dodgers cheering him. Of course I cried. You know me, I'm an emotional girl. When Roger Federer was speaking after his last match, when Rafa was crying because his friend was crying, when the two of them are sitting there and the ceremony's taking place on court even before Roger Federer has the mic, and Fed and Rafa are bawling their eyes out, I was crying too, but I kept thinking, like, we all need a friend who cries when we cry. That's Rafa. So classic. Wears his emotions on his sleeve, right? I wanted to soak it all in. It's just part of what's been a very emotional week, watching Roger Federer say goodbye to tennis and talking about what this last match meant to him.
I enjoyed tying my shoes one more time, and everything was the last time. And funny enough, with all the matches and having the guys and being here, fans, family, friends, didn't feel the stress so much, even though I did think something was going to go, pop a calf or block a back or something in the match. So I am so happy I made it through, and the match was great. I couldn't be happier. So it's been wonderful. Had so much fun over the last 13 years, ever since. Yeah, ever since everybody's here, the girls, the boys, my wife's been so supportive. And she could have stopped me long, long time ago, but she didn't. She kept me going and allowed me to play, so it's amazing. Thank you.
His wife is crying. He's crying. Rafa's crying. I'm crying. People all over the country are crying. Actually, people all over the world. This was taking place in London. That's how beloved he is. So it was a really emotional last week in sports, from Albert Pujols, which was a lifetime achievement, to Aaron Judge, even though he didn't get 61 until Wednesday night in Toronto. His family, his whole family, living and dying with every pitch. The Roger Maris family, there the whole time. The fans at Yankee Stadium, his teammates pulling for him. And then Roger Federer. And while that's an individual sport, the way that tennis came together actually made it much more of a team atmosphere. And I thought it was kind of cool too. We'll end with this one. Really neat that he was surrounded by people who impacted him, but at the same time, who can say the sport is better and they are better for having played either with him or against him.
I didn't want it to feel lonely out there. I felt lonely for a second when they told me to go out, or you wanted me to come out one more time, and it felt great. But to be saying goodbye in a team, I always felt I was a team player at heart. Singles doesn't really do that a whole lot, but I've had a team that traveled with me for around the world. It's been amazing with them. So thanks to everybody who made it work for so many years. And then, of course, being on the team with Andy, Thomas, Novak, Matteo, Cam, Stefanos, Rafa, and Casper, and also all the other teams. You guys are unbelievable. It's been a pleasure playing all these Labor Cups. And it feels... And it does feel like a celebration to me. I want it to feel like this at the end, and it's exactly what I hope for. So thank you.
I mean, he broke down so many times. And as I say, every time he cried, Rafa cried, which was just fantastic. So that was an event that I watched because I wanted to. There are still these moments with sports that grip me and that suck me in emotionally and suck me in with my heart, and not so much my analytic brain that is trying to figure out what storylines and what angles and coming up with not just opinions, but analysis. I mean, that's what sports have become to me in so many ways and for the majority of the time. But over the last week, it's been a lot of fun to enjoy the moments and to know that they still impact me. Ultimately, I love sports for that reason. No matter how many years I work in this business, we will always experience events and moments, history that we've never seen before. And there will always be athletes that we care about personally. And Roger Federer is one of those. Albert Pujols. How can you not root for that guy? Aaron Judge, same thing. Though a little bit different because he hasn't been around quite as long. But we are losing this incredible group of athletes in their 40s as they retire. Roger Federer. We talked about Sue Bird when she played her last game with the Seattle Storm. We know Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina are both retiring. At some point, Tom Brady. Maybe after this year. These are some of the greatest athletes their sports have ever seen. So for that reason and so many others, it was nice, actually, to get teary, to be joyful, to get sucked into the emotions of the last week in sports. And the fact that I was able to watch these athletes over the courses of their careers, that is also something I consider a privilege. People say to me all the time, what iconic athlete or what legendary athlete do you wish you had seen play but didn't? And there are so many. The list is so long. I don't think that I could even narrow it down to 10, much less one. But I wouldn't trade the eras that I've watched and these athletes, the ones that are now in their 40s who are retiring. I mean, we may never see them again. Champions, legends, Hall of Famers. They've left an impact on their sports and on fans like me that we'll remember forever. And I love that. I love that sports still can do that to me, even though I'm a grizzled old veteran at this radio thing myself.
That's amazing. Thank you.
So I hope you've enjoyed this last week with all of its powerful emotions. It's
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Now the pitch. Freddie swings, and that's going to be a base hit into center field. Betts will score. The Dodgers lead it 1-0. Boy, oh boy, it took a long time tonight, but the Dodgers finally got a run. Tommy throws home. Swung on, a little tapper out in front of the plate, picked up by Kainley, throws to first, got him, and the Dodgers win. It's a new single-season record in victories for the Dodgers, 107, as they win 1-0 in extra innings tonight, as the Dodgers make franchise history here in San Diego.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On Dodgers Radio, Tim Neverett winning a 1-0 game in San Diego in extras. This is crazy. I thought I was seeing the box score wrong when I got into work. I knew it was still scoreless when I left the house. So I get into work and the Padres and the Dodgers are locked in a scoreless tie as they go to extras. It was a really impressive performance by the bullpen specifically. All the pitchers, obviously, until the very end. But Joe Musgrove, he allowed just 4 hits over his 5 innings pitched. And then the Padres bullpen trots out 4 guys in 4 innings who don't even give up a hit. Pretty amazing, right? Not until the 10th inning do the Dodgers scrounge together a run off Steven Wilson. And the Dodgers bullpen, nearly as impressive. 4 different relievers, only 1 hit combined once they relieved Julio Urias. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Dodgers have already clinched the NL West. They've already locked up best record in baseball and best record in the National League, so they've got the top seed. But what's unique about this game and this win in San Diego, because the Padres obviously are the team that's playing for a postseason berth, they set a brand new franchise record for wins in a single season, and there's still a week to go. What do you think, Jay? Do they get to 110?
Probably. Probably. Why would I count the Dodgers at this point?
Right now they're sitting on 155 games, so they have 7 games to go. I don't know if they're going to run the table. What they need to do now is get their pitching rotation set up, although because they're the top seed and have the bye, they don't really need to freak out about it too much, right? Anyway, they've got 155 games under their belts and now 107 wins. And so this is a unique moment for the Dodgers because even over the last, 7-8 years and all the success they've had, the multiple World Series appearances, the World Series title in 2020, hosting the All-Star game, blah, 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 go on and on. The number of superstar athletes that they've collected, some who've now gone on to other places. I mean, to be able to set this franchise record for wins and to do it, weeks after they clinched the NL West division, gosh, the whole thing is, it's gaudy, Dodgers, it's gaudy.
A lot of people deserve a lot of credit. There's been a lot of very good Dodger teams in the franchise's history. And so for us to have that title, no one can take it away from us. 107 wins is a heck of a job, all of us. Something to be very proud of.
Oh, and they're not there yet, right? They're not even done yet. They could easily tack on a few more wins. In fact, producer Jay just looked up their schedule. They finish up the series with the Dodgers. They finish up the series with the Padres coming up on Thursday night. Got to make sure I got my right days. They all blend together this time of the year. And then they've got a home-and-home series with the Rockies. So they've got 3 at Dodger Stadium and 3 at Coors Field. Freddie Freeman, he's obviously part of, I guess we don't normally talk about athletes as reigning champions in team sports, but he is a defending champion, technically, since he was with the Braves last year.
That is awesome to hear.
Such a good guy. Jay and I were just talking about this. Yeah, the Dodgers are the big bads. They're a juggernaut. A lot of people probably are tired of hearing about them or want to complain that they spend money and they buy a bunch of iconic players. Well, they do that, but it's all within the rules. So do the Yankees. So do the Mets now. So do the Red Sox. The White Sox went on a big spending spree last offseason, too. That didn't really work. But they've got likable guys. Freddie Freeman is about as likable as they come in Major League Baseball. And right now, he's batting .327, which is first in the National League. I mean, he's been such a huge piece of what the Dodgers have accomplished this year, and it's just his first season there.
It's a pretty good first season, huh? So, it's cool. Once October 11th hits, no one's going to care how many wins you had in the regular season. That's the big thing. But we're here. We're in the regular season. We might as well get as many wins as we possibly can. And we've been it just shows that you've got to play good baseball from start to finish to be able to accomplish something like this. And we've been doing it.
It's just that when you're a member of the Dodgers, there are so many options, so many ways they can beat you, right? There's so many guys who can step up and do step up. But yeah, Freddie Freeman's been a phenomenal addition. Right now, his batting average, .327. He actually is tops in Major League Baseball. The top three guys in baseball all come from the National League. It's Jeff McNeil of the Mets, .320. Paul Goldschmidt, who is a MVP candidate, at .318. And then down to Aaron Judge, who right now he's fighting for MVP. Well, MVP is probably his in the American League, but he's fighting for the Triple Crown. Not something we get very often in baseball, so it's kind of cool when it happens. He is far and away going to win the home run title. And at this point, he's got a pretty healthy edge in the RBI race. But he and Luis Arraez of the Twins are dead heat for batting average. They're fourth and fifth. Actually, they're tied for fourth, but they're the fourth and fifth guys on the list in all of Major League Baseball, but they're in a dead heat in the American League. There's your drama. As if you needed more drama, because we're going down to the wire for the National League East title. Mets and Braves play in Atlanta this weekend. There's been no change to that. Looks like the Hurricanes going to miss Atlanta. And then we've also got wild cards and wild card races and a couple of teams that are on the outside looking in that desperately want to try to make this a contest and make a final push in the last week. Crazy to think about, right? Remember the lockout? How long did the lockout last? 3 months? Nearly 90 days, right? So it was 3 months. It almost seems like it didn't happen. Is that weird? I know. Isn't that crazy? I mean, they dragged us through the muck with the whole idea that they were going to postpone or cancel the start of the season, which I guess they did for all of like 4 hours. And then they came to some surprise agreement. That part I remember. It's like a thing of the past. Like it almost didn't happen. And it really didn't affect baseball all that much. It doesn't seem like. We talk a big game as fans, but we went right back.
It was annoying for a little bit. But yeah, once they brought it back, I guess in the beginning I was a little, trying to hold my ground. But yeah, once
were
it
you?
Starts up.
Were you trying to be a big bad, trying to be tough?
Didn't last that long. But no. Once I saw Pete Alonso home run, I was like, all right, I'm back.
All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Love to hear from you, especially if you are in Florida. I know there's a lot of people without power. 2.4 million people right now. There's widespread flooding across Florida. The storm surge on the back half along the Gulf Coast. I mean, still, the winds and the rain not only hitting Orlando, so not the winds there, the rain, according to my friend who lives in Orlando, still pounding her part of the city, but Jacksonville and Daytona Beach. And now as the storm exits and goes out over the Atlantic, still is a Category 1, there's a chance it's going to pick up some steam before it then makes landfall again. And stop it. This thing is huge, and it's moving so slowly. And some of the video of the damage, and not just the debris, I mean, there were also tornadoes that were spawned, but the water. There's just so much water everywhere. Water's dangerous, to be sure. Who knows, as the sun comes up and as daylight returns, what these people will find, if yesterday's video and photos are any indication. Certainly is a storm unlike they've ever seen in Florida for a lot of reasons. All right, on Twitter, on Facebook, coming up, we're going to dive into a little QB news because there's a lot to get to in advance of week number 4. And then, of course, top of the hour, Aaron Judge, 61. It's iconic for so many reasons. It's actually baseball immortality, even though it's not a single season record. But it's special. It is special, and I'm glad I had a chance to see it.
You are listening to the...
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
After Hours Podcast.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it tossed? Oh my goodness, it's tossed. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's got it.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught, touchdown, Kansas City.
And off to Eckler again, no, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap, Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
All right, we're going to break this down to AFC and NFC QB news because it's all happening as we get set to kick off week four. Seriously, are you ready for this? It's already week four in the NFL, and it features our first international game of the year with the Vikings and the Saints in London. We'll get to that coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Mention the update, or lack thereof, from the New England Patriots about one Mac Jones. So just to reiterate, it's day by day, and we don't have a real update on whether or not Mac will be starting on the road
day by day
at the Green Bay Packers. Okay, so that's that piece of QB news. But other quarterbacks are getting closer or have been cleared, so it's good to know guys are healing up. Not everybody is lost for this season. Josh Allen, he definitely needed a break and needed some recovery time after what was an exhausting game in Miami. The Bills' first loss last week in the heat and the humidity of South Florida. Now it's another stiff test against another incredible quarterback, this one in the same draft class. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, as the Bills and the Ravens kick off this week in Baltimore. And of course, they have a very healthy respect for one another.
There's a lot of different notions and opinions about both of us coming out of the draft. And we're just trying to find ways to help our team win football games. And, you know, he does it as good as anybody in the league. So, again, it's no simple task for our defense to go out there and play a guy like his caliber. And it's no simple task for our offense to go against a defense and a team of their caliber with the head coach that they've got and the continuity that they've had in Baltimore for a long time. So again, we got to have a good week and prepare for our toughest battle yet.
Very mutual respect between one another, you know, but he's in Buffalo and I'm over here in Baltimore, you know, so it can't be no hanging out and stuff like that. But when we see each other, we show respect among each other.
Lamar Jackson coming off another game in which he had five total touchdowns. Get this, according to NFL research, Lamar is the first player in the Super Bowl era with at least 10 passing touchdowns and at least 100 rushing yards in the first three games of a season.
That's nerd stuff.
Yeah, it is. And the man continues to do this kind of stuff, right? Blast records because he's a do-it-all QB for the Ravens flock. So, yes, this weekend in Baltimore, remember last time they were home, they lost in what was a crazy rally to the Dolphins, right, with Tua, with the four touchdowns and the 200 yards passing in the fourth quarter alone. So the Bills have no rest for the weary, and really there isn't a week where you can breathe in the AFC unless you're on a bye. Now, mention some of the other injuries. Zach Wilson has been cleared and is ready to go against the Steelers this weekend.
I'm just, you know, psyched to be back on the field, you know, going through the whole process. You know, it's the happiest I've been in a month. I'm full go. I'm going to be, you know, playing ball how I can. You know, if somebody comes up, make somebody miss, get out on the edge, extend plays when I need to, hang in the pocket. You know, I'm planning on being exactly how I should be.
The second-year QB got injured in the preseason, hurt his knee, had surgery, and is now returning for week number 4. I actually had this discussion with producer Jay about whether or not I should replace my Steelers defense, because after week number 1, they actually haven't scored very well in fantasy, and he gave me a very vigorous no. Keep the Steelers defense for one more week.
Not this week.
So welcome back, Zach Wilson, and welcome to Pittsburgh, because that's where the Steelers will host this game. Now, they've got their own quarterback questions. It's not Joe Flacco versus Zach Wilson. It's Mitch Trubisky. Mike Tomlin is not making a change. We've told you this. We've explained why with a Steelers insider. But Trubisky threw 3 games. Not even 600 passing yards. Okay, that's not a number necessarily that you need to freak out over. But 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Right now, a completion percentage that's sitting at 60%. So what can they do to spark the offense? What can they do to make that offense more viable and more dangerous, Mitch?
There's always urgency. I think mentality-wise, you got to take it one day at a time. How much can you get out of each day? Just trying to get 1%, 2% better each day. Continue to build this thing. And not try to look too far ahead. And then when we get to Sunday, we'll get to Sunday. But I think that's how you continue to have more detailed and better work each and every single day. Just continue to focus on the task at hand.
All right, you put the work in, you focus on the task at hand. I'm not sure that's what Steelers fans want to hear, but we'll see whether or not it translates on the field. A win is a win is a win is a win, but not all wins are created equal, and certainly not all offenses or quarterbacks are created equal.
Well, you better knuckle up.
He did not urinate down his leg. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. QB News sticking in the AFC. Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars may be one of the early season surprises that catch a lot of people off guard. Now, he's made a major jump. He's had back-to-back awesome games. What about being in the spotlight now that the Jags are winning?
For us, we don't really want any of that. We'd rather just be on the back burner and just let us do our thing. And that's our mindset. You know, we're not really worried about any of the attention that we get. Obviously, the goal is to play really well every week, win a lot of games, so you're going to get some attention. So I think we're doing a good job of doing that. But at the end of the day, we got to keep the same mindset that got us here. The work that we put in through camp, through OTAs, playing with that edge, you know, just playing with something to prove. And we just got to keep carrying that every week.
Well, get ready for a test. The first place Jacksonville Jaguars are on the road at the Philadelphia Eagles in week number 4. So, okay, if you want to gauge where you are in your progress, this is the week. Davis Mills and the Houston Texans, they're also in that same division, as are the Colts and as are the Titans, and yet it's the Jaguars who are in first place. That kind of blows me away. In the AFC West, the Raiders are still in search of their first win, and Derek Carr is an eternal optimist.
I'm confident that it'll get better. Now, where does that confidence come from? It comes from the work that we're putting in and how hard we worked at it today.
We just heard this.
Guys are running until they can't run anymore just to get it right. You know what I mean? And so I'm confident that it'll get better, but we have to do it on game day. And so we have the right guys to do it. We got the right coaches. We believe in the scheme. We just takes time. You know, no one wants to do that right now, but us playing together, we've gotten better each week, which doesn't count for a win, but we're getting better, and hopefully we can continue that stride to where it does turn into wins and we keep getting better throughout the season as it goes on.
So the Raiders were victims of that crazy comeback by the Cardinals in week number 2. They lost in overtime. They've had a couple of close calls, but now 0-3 in the basement of the AFC West and taking on the Broncos this weekend. The Broncos are 2-1, but let's be honest, their offense isn't anything to get excited about either. It's definitely not moving the needles. In fact, on the Monday Night Mannings, Eli Manning made the quip that they should give Russell Wilson's money to their punter because he was the one who was doing all the work. And of course, Russell heard about it and he responded on Wednesday.
You talking about Chad Powers? Yeah, you know, Chad Powers, you know. I'm 3-0 against Chad Powers, you know.
Zing!
You know, listen, I think that, you know, that it's part of the game, man. We're just having, those guys are having fun, you know, and everything else. I have a lot of respect for Peyton and Eli and those guys. Those guys, I mean, you know, I've always looked up to those guys. So I'm not stressing about it.
I mean, why would you? It was a joke, for heaven's sakes. And actually, Russ and Peyton have collaborated a bunch. There are videos out there of them watching film. And certainly when Russell Wilson got traded to Denver, Peyton Manning was part of the welcoming committee. I mean, he lives in Denver. You don't really play for the Broncos without knowing about Peyton or seeing Peyton around. So that's a big test as well for both those offenses, but also the defenses. At Allegiant Stadium in Vegas on Sunday afternoon, the Broncos and the Raiders. And that's just a snippet of what's to come in week 4. Good morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.